Well, this earlier this week, I saw, well, actually it was earlier this month, I saw an image that I thought really captured the way things are right now. There were actually two images in this picture. There was one picture of a person who was juggling a ball that said normal stress, and they were doing just fine. And then the second half of the picture was a person juggling a ball that, juggling a series of balls that said, normal stress, election stress, COVID-19 stress, is Christmas going to happen stress? You get the picture, right? There is a lot going on right now. Even our prayer time reminded us of the weight that many of us carry. And in the midst of that, I think it is very often easy for us to get weighed down by it, to get weighed down by the pressures and the juggling of the here and now. So what I want to do this morning is give you something that I hope will help you with the here and now. I want to give you something to look forward to help you here. You know, I famously don't like flying. I hate going through airports. But you know what? If I can say to myself, okay, 5 more hours and I'm going to be in Florida, 5 more hours and I'm going to be in Florida, it gets me through, right? Knowing that you have something to look forward to pulls you through, and I have something better for you than Republican Florida to look forward to. I want to give you something that I hope will pull you ahead. And this thing is actually rooted in something that God gave to the people of Israel who were in exile to get them through a hard time. As you know, up to this point, we've been looking at the people in exile. We've seen how they had turned their back on a very faithful God. They had pursued their own interests rather than God's. And so God said, okay, into the corner you go, and sent them off into exile to refine those people. But even then, he was not aloof. Even then, he did not leave them on their own. He was full of compassion and eager to sustain them. And so he gave them, on a number of occasions, visions of the future to pull them forward and get them through this trial called the exile. One of the most famous of those visions comes from Isaiah, and Isaiah 25 in particular. If you have your Bible, take a look at Isaiah 25, after the Psalms, but before Jeremiah. So Isaiah 25, verse 6, Isaiah 25, God says to his people, look, I know that you're struggling in exile right now. You're far from home. You're probably feeling alone, a little alienated. I understand. But don't give up. Keep with it, because there is a day coming when I will put things right. There is a day coming when I will triumph over the forces of evil and put everything back the way it was supposed to be when I created everything and said, it is good. Verse 6, this is a picture of this day, this everything set back to right, everything the way it should be, the party to end all parties. Verse 6, on this mountain, on Jerusalem, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. That is, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all of the earth. The Lord has spoken. Verse 9, in that day, they will surely say, surely this is our God. We have trusted in him and he has saved us. This is the Lord. This is Yahweh. We have trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Yahweh himself says, look, I know what you are going through right now is tough. But there is a day coming when I will set things right. When I myself will set the table with the richest of foods and the best of wine. He's saying, I'm going to give you a 5-star meal, saying that to a person who has oatmeal 4 times a day. He says, there is going to be no more hunger. There is going to be no more famine. There is not going to be any more mouths scraping by on whatever scraps they can find. There is a day coming, he says, when everyone will have everything that they need. There is a day coming, says the Lord, when I will remove the disgrace from all of my people. That is, I will make it so that godly people are no longer the butt of jokes, so that godly people will no longer face persecution and opposition for following me faithfully. There's coming a day when people who are made in the image of God will no longer step on one another in order to get themselves further ahead in the world, where conflict and oppression and racism and exploitation are gone. There is coming a day, God says, when I will wipe away every tear from your eye. Pain gone. Grief and loss will be no more, because God says, I will swallow up that great shroud that covers all mankind. I will swallow up death forever. This is the future that God holds out to the people of Israel and says, hold out for this. Keep walking in my way, because this day is coming. And there's a sense in which that was accomplished when the people of Israel came back from exile. We read about that in Ezra and Nehemiah. But it's also clear when we read Ezra and Nehemiah that when the people got back from the exile, this was not fulfilled in its fullness. So it means that Isaiah 25 is for us too. And I know that even more because in the book of Revelation, John picks up these very threads from Isaiah 25 and says, this is for us, the church, too. Revelation 19:9, God himself sets the table for the wedding supper of the Lamb, the big party to end all parties. And then Revelation 21:3, John says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That day is coming. Jesus died to make sure that it would. Jesus died to make sure that if we are following him, we have a place at that wedding feast. The day is coming when God will set things right. Draw strength from that and live with confidence and faithfulness now. That really, I think, is the message for this passage. Knowing that God will soon set things right, live with confidence and faithfulness now. You know, I know the pain that many of you carry. I know the injustices that you have suffered, the conflicts that you are wading through. You know, I've heard some of you say, it feels like with this COVID thing, we are in exile now, set apart from each other and disconnected and unable to feel right. I've officiated enough funerals to know the pain of the shroud of death that covers all people. So I want to say to you today, this day is coming. There is a day coming when God will put all things right. Don't let hardships or pain or trials weigh you down or discourage you, because God is going to restore you. live with the confidence that comes from knowing that that future is coming. I mean, that's why God has given us these passages in Isaiah 25 and Revelation 20, 21, 19. They're to push us forward, a breath of fresh air to come and invigorate us. You know, in the language of today, when it comes to eternity, God loves spoilers. He wants you to know what's going to happen. There will come a day when God will set things right. Let that pull you on through the trials of life now. I want to close with a story here. I really wish I could show you the picture. I think I'll see if I can find it and maybe put it up on Facebook later. It probably won't mean as much because it's a kind of you had to be there moment. But a few years ago, my birthday was coming up, and so Julie was thinking, what are some fun things that we could do for Graham's birthday? And she decided that a really fun thing to do would be to run a 5-kilometer race on my birthday. Happy birthday to me. But it was fun, and I enjoyed it. It was a nice, sunny day. It wasn't too hot. You know, the race itself started this with this, like, long downhill slope, like almost a kilometer-long downhill beginning of the race. It was a great day and a great race. Here's the thing about races. Some of them are loop races where you start in one place and you go around and you come back never crossing the same ground twice. Some races are out and back races. So you get out to halfway, then you got to turn around and come back into the finish line. It was about the moment that I got to the bottom of the kilometer-long slope and realized I'm going to have to do this again after running 4 kilometers. So, okay, I'll press on. So I keep running, enjoy the sunshine, enjoy being outside, enjoy being passed by 13-year-olds and their mothers who are running past me. But then I get up to, you know, get the halfway point, turn around, come back. Now I got to get up to home again. And I'm coming up to the point where the slope starts going up again. And just as I got into it, starting to feel kind of discouraged and worn out, you know, legs tired at that point from running for, you know, 15, 20 minutes, I saw this big yellow inflatable gate thing that they had at the end as the start and the finish line. It's a picture of that I'd love to post for you, because I stopped and I took a picture of it. It just filled me with energy, knowing that the end was almost there, that I could see what was coming, and that, you know, it was going to be a bit of a trial to get there, and it was a slog to get up that hill, but I could see what was coming, and what was coming was good. That's why God has given us these pictures in Isaiah and Revelation, to revive our failing spirits, to reinvigorate our tired will, to give us the energy to press on and to keep going with what's going on now. You know, there is a day coming when there will be no more famine or hunger, when there will be no more exploitation or conflict or trouble. There is a day coming when God himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes, because he himself will swallow death forever. Knowing that, live and act in the confidence that God will soon set things right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this picture of eternity, of the day that is coming when everything will be good, very good, the way that you made it. Lord, I know that many of us deal with pain, we deal with uncertainty, we deal with family conflict, And those are real. Those are significant trials that we go to. Lord, I pray that knowing that that day is coming when things will be right, when life will be utterly good, I pray that knowledge will give us strength to act with grace and perseverance in the here and now. Lord, I pray that you would work in all of our hearts to remind us or to renew in us a desire to know you more, to know you personally, because it's only in knowing you that we can get to that day. But Lord, I am so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you laid down your life to secure for me a seat at the wedding feast. God, I pray that throughout this week, when we are feeling tired, worn down, that you would remind us of this day when you will wipe away every tear. I pray that you will carry people in the here and now. And I pray that you would help us to fix our eyes on that big yellow inflatable pearly gate, that you will welcome us through, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.